Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the newest episode of Blue Chips, a show that goes deep into team building and player evaluations, a show that talks about college football and the NFL. Blue Chips is where dynasty meets Devi. I'm your host, Maddie Kiwoom, and today we are going a deep diving. We are talking about some rookie sleepers. These are the guys that played for the FCS schools, not the FBS. So we are going deep. Some of you may have already heard of some of these guys. Others may have not. But all five, that's right, we're going through one, two, three, four, and five players. And all five of these guys on today's show are worth knowing if you play dynasty football. So let's get started. The first player on this list comes from Monmouth. He is a running back from Monmouth. You may have heard of him. He was at the NFL Combine. He has broken out on some people's sleepers lists or guys to look out for lists. So he's not a complete unknown in the rookie ranks, but I'm talking about Jaden Sheardon. He's 5'8", 187 pounds, 19th percentile BMI. So he's a little small. Shifty guy for sure, but small. Keep that in mind as we go through his player profiler. Shout out to player profiler. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel, like and comment this video. Let's go. Some of his workout metrics from the NFL Combine that you can find at playerprofiler.com is he had a 4.45 40-yard dash, 90th percentile. Good. We like that. 95.4 speed score, 48th percentile. Just below average. That's kind of where the size is playing. Hurts his profile. That's where the size is a bit of a red flag. And 117.2 burst score, 42nd percentile. And a lot of that is going to come from, again, the 5'8", 187. We've kind of come to an agreement, right? As evaluators, that 200 is kind of that threshold. Once the running backs are 200 plus, you're kind of cooking with gas here. You might have something here. 187, you're looking at someone that needs to be an outlier at some particular things, but I think Sheardon is an outlier in some particular traits, but we'll get into that in a minute. So some of his stats from 2023, I think that are worth knowing. 1,478 rushing yards. Pretty good, right? We like anything north of a rack, and we're seeing 1,478. 11 total touchdowns. He did pass the 20 reception threshold, just at 20. That's kind of become a bit of a benchmark for the evaluation industry of just, you know, how is he proficient? Is he capable? 20 has become like a nice little number. I think as my process gets going, I'm thinking I might up that a little bit because it seems like a lot of guys can hit that 20. Reception threshold, because it's only for 123 yards. So it's really not prolific any which way. He did have 20 breakaway runs. That was tied for third in the FCS. So as I was saying, he may not have a tremendous burst in speed score, but that's just really in comparison to the size. He is fast. We've seen the long speed. We saw the 4.45 40 time. So we know he's got juice. We know he has some breakaway ability. The problem that he may face is can he actualize that long speed? Can he get to the second level here at the NFL? That is where, you know, of course, this is why they're sleepers. These are not bona fide first round rookie picks. These are guys that maybe take a flyer on in your fourth, fifth, sixth rounds, depending how deep your rookie draft is. But players, I think, that should be on your radar when you play in serious dynasty leagues, because players pop up from small schools every so often. And you want to at least know who they are and be able to monitor them throughout your league's market, whether you roster them now or you're just keeping an eye on them. When I watch his tape, when I watch the video, Sheridan, he quickly decides which gap to go through. And the quick decision-making, I think, will translate favorably at the next level, not kind of hemming and hawing on which hole he's going to kind of burst through, the one that he's going to hit. Decisiveness at a guy at 187 is good. That's kind of what we need. We don't want him dancing at that size. He'll be easy to bring down. I did mention his long speed. It's very good. He does have the ability to run away from defenders. Again, it's just really a matter of, can he get to that second level? The note that I was making while watching film, I just wonder if he lacks the burst. You know, I wonder if he lacks enough. I wonder if he has enough burst, because I think it would be hard for him to make plays in the NFL given his size. So does he have outlier burst to make up for the lack of size? I just didn't see it. Like I said, I'd like the long speed, so maybe he can develop just a little bit more burst, and he is decisive when he gets the ball in running, you know, trying to get the gains up the field. So it's not that he can't improve some of those things, but I think it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, and he's going to lack the draft capital at the NFL level. So that's going to limit his opportunities. He's going to have to hit at the right time, produce when the team needs him to stick around. We're looking at a guy that is really only potentially a few week relevant, but the reason why we're putting the groundwork here, the reason why you blue chippers tune in to this show, is to get a grasp on these guys so that you're not late, you're early. And you have that, you get the opportunity cost to roster these guys in Dynasty. It is so minimal that you can cut bait whenever. You could pick up Le'Veon roster, cut bait whenever. But these are just some players that you need to have on your radar. And Jaden Sheridan is definitely one of them. Projected round in the NFL draft is UDFA, so probably not drafted. Again, lacking that draft capital will make it tough for him to get a lot of opportunities. But we've seen guys shine because of how they play in camp, how they play in the preseason, a couple injuries, they play well when needed, bada bing, bada boom, they're on the field. My working play style comp for him is Philip Lindsay. The projectability level is a 3, so not super high, kind of mid-level. Again, the stars kind of had to align a bit for Lindsay to get on the field, but we did see him be productive in fantasy for a season. And that is kind of our hopes for Jaden Sheridan, and that's why we should put him on our radar. My rank right now at RB21, but if he does get even any draft capital, if he's picked in the 6th or 7th round, I could see that go up a couple of spots. I'm just banking on there not really being a whole lot of draft capital here. The next player I'm going to talk about, we want to put in the back of our mind, but it's a long shot for him to make it in the NFL, but I like this player. This is Ty James from Mercer College in Georgia. 6'2", 200 pounds. He's a fifth-year senior. He was a 3-star recruit coming out of high school. He did commit to the University of Georgia. He did commit to go play for the Bulldogs and did attend the University of Georgia. He was on the team, but he transferred out after redshirting his freshman year. He has yet to put a 40 time out for you know, the scouting folks, but he's projected to run to mid to high 4.5s, so not a burner. But his size and his abilities is what I think could stick on an NFL roster. And unlike running backs, wide receivers you could slow cook a little bit longer. Adam Thielen, someone that comes to mind, a player that can stick around on special teams, make a couple plays in the preseason. Next year, gets limited snaps, makes a few plays. The year after that, he has a role on an NFL offense. So we can slow play the receiver a little bit more than the running backs. Running backs, we're just looking for these guys to get an opportunity in 2024 to make sure that we have them deep in our rosters. And when that opportunity comes and people are going to look, oh, man, this guy, Jane Jordan, I'm hearing everyone say put fab on him. Let me go put 10% fab on him. Oh, what? He's already on my friend's roster? How did he know about Jane Jordan? Well, because he tuned into blue chips. But Ty James, let's get back to him. Last two seasons, he was definitely a prolific receiver at Mercer, 2,200 receiving yards over the last two seasons. He had 20 total touchdowns. And what really popped for me was his yards per route run metric. 3.53 in 2023. That was 10th amongst all receivers in FBS or FCS. So top 10 in yards per route run. So we are putting him at the levels. I know, don't say this, I'm not calling him Malik Nabers. I'm not calling him Luther Burden. I'm not calling him Marvin Harrison. But those are the guys he's in the class with in terms of this particular metric. A metric that, you know, us evaluators, we do tend to put some weight onto. We do pay attention to the guys with good Y-RRs. That didn't sound good. Yards per route run. And then when you look at 2022, he had a 4.44 yards per run. And this is the qualifier here is, you have to qualify for this metric. This isn't just everyone who can have two targets. We're talking about all qualified receivers in FBS, in FCS. He had the highest yards per run in 2022. So he does have those, those are good indicators for success. Typically, we're looking at D1, FBS, blue chippers, hence the show name. But today we're going deep, and this guy is amongst those type of guys at the SCS level. When I look at the film, I see a guy with really good concentration. Good at making the catch on the sideline. Now, where I'm having trouble buying in totally is a lot of his nice toe tap work on the sideline is a college catch, so meaning he got 1 foot down. It was not a big league catch. I don't know how much I should dock players for that, because it's something that can be learned, a skill that can be developed. And the fact that he did have quick enough feet to get one down in the league, play by the rules of the league, you got to give the guy credit. And he did that a lot, going up and getting the ball. He was really good at it. Kind of like corner routes to the end zone, you know, getting his hips, getting turned around, making the catch, catching the ball over his shoulder. Good concentration throughout. I really saw that. I really liked seeing that throughout his film. Competition aside, I understand FCS, so he's not going against the Bama Crimson Tide secondary. But he did display breakaway speed. He could catch a slant over the middle and get away from defenders and take it to the house. He could, get over the top, get behind the safety. If the safety don't make that initial tackle, he could be gone when no one's catching him. So he did show enough breakaway speed. Again, we're projecting him to potentially run in the mid 4.5s, but a 4.60, you know, in the water. That's what it is. It's the name of the game. But what else I did see on tape, some of the negatives I would say in his game is he did love using the old breadbasket, kind of the two hands bringing it to your body, kind of not necessarily a body catch, but putting in the hands and then quickly bringing it to the body. He did that a lot, whether it be deep passes, which is more understandable. It's kind of better technique, but it was also, you know, intermediate sideline routes where same thing, instead of really having the suction cup hands, really just kind of controlling the football, it was more bringing in a little bit of the basket catch. So he would have to improve his hands, I think. But again, this is a guy with the size. I do think he's going to have the quickness and the speed. And he will bring a particular trait to an NFL offense that if he can improve on some of these things, he can stick around and he can, you know, potentially work his way into a role. And if we play in our deep dynasty leagues, these are the guys we want to put on our taxi squad, keep an eye on, and just see kind of how it may materialize in the next 3 years. The projected round, again, seventh round or undrafted free agent. It's tough for these guys to get a lot of DC. But we'll get into some guys in this list. They're not all going to be complete sleepers. Off the beaten path. We're not getting too crazy. There's some people that you may know about. Some people that we are expecting to hear their name called at the NFL draft. My working play style comp for Ty James is Gabe Davis, but projectability level 5. because Gabe Davis got the third round draft capital. He did go to an NFL offense, but he had those up and down games. And I think that that's kind of where the best case scenario for a Ty James is that maybe that best ball. And I'm using quotes because, of course, everyone hates to hear that, but it's the truth. Those type of players shine better in those formats. And at right now, my wide receiver rank at 35. So it's not, I'm not expecting a lot, but it's someone that I need to put on my radar and I want to put on everyone else's radar. Just so we're keeping things, you know, we're getting an advantage here. We're learning about players that if they were to pop, you already know you got a basis of information. You have a nice little understanding of what this player could be when your league mates just scrambling to find out who Ty James is. You will have already known and decide whether that's a player you want to stash or not. Two guys down, three to go. But before we get into the bottom three, and these next three, a few of them you're going to know about, and you're definitely going to hear about why I think they are receivers that you need to have on your radar for the 2024 NFL rookie season. But before we do, let's hear from one of our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This episode is brought to you by Player Profiler, the Dynasty Deluxe Package. The rankings are the best in the industry. It includes strategy mode where you can say, hey, change the rankings to be win now. Oh, change the rankings to be productive struggle. There's also a draft planner to help strategize where you should take players because the draft planner also includes ADP. There's a trade finder where we look up on My Fantasy League and we see trades that are done, including a particular player. Then there's a trade analyzer where you can plug in draft picks, players, and we assign a lifetime value to draft picks out 5 years. The best thing about our trade analyzer, it can't be gamed with volume. And there's mock draft data to see right now what's the market for player X versus player Y, including in the fall when very few mock drafts are happening. And our Dynasty Guide, the Dynasty Dominator, would cost you $10 on Amazon, but you get it for free with Dynasty Deluxe. And you get our Rookie Guide for free, a $25 value. So you get all of that for $45. So it's a great deal.
Matty Keewum here, Blue Chips, and we getting deep. We're going deep. FCS rookie sleepers, and you're going to want to turn up the volume because we're going to get into some really exciting prospects here. First guy I want to talk about is Isaiah Davis from South Dakota State. Now, you may already know who this player is because my friends over at Roster Watch, Alex Dunlap and Cody Carpentier, have already been singing his praises. They have already talked about him on some of their shows. So if you rock with if you tune into Roster Watch, you may already know who you may know a little something about Isaiah Davis. But if you don't, that's why you tune into Blue Chips. You can get that knowledge right here. He's 6 foot, 218 pounds, 42nd percentile BMI. He's a big kid. Workout metrics, nothing that really gets you overly excited, but nothing that sinks his prospect profile too much. 4.57 40-yard dash, that's above 50th percentile, 56th. He had a 100.0 speed score, that's 66th percentile, and a 118.2 burst score, which is just under 50% percentile. He did have 23 bench reps, though. That's 76% out. Strong kid. Like I said, he's noticeably a big human being when you watch him. He did have really, really good stats at South Dakota. Really, really strong career for Davis at South Dakota. He rushed for over 700 yards in all four of his collegiate seasons. And over his past 2 years, he had over 3,000 rushing yards, 27 total touchdowns. He had 20-plus receptions in each of the last 2 years. And when we got – well, I wasn't there, but when the people that were in attendance at the Senior Bowl a month ago, people noticed that his hands, his ability to catch the ball, was probably a little bit better than what the numbers show, what the surface stats showed at South Dakota State. So that's a good thing. He does hit that 20 reception threshold that I mentioned earlier. And the fact that people noticed that he was skilled at catching the ball, that it wasn't he didn't have stone hands or anything like that, is a good sign for his potential success at the next level. He had the highest PFF run grade amongst the FCS running backs and the FBS running backs at 96.8, so PFF graded very highly. He had 80 evaded tackles, which was the most in the FCS this year. And he had 25 breakaway runs. That was most in FCS. It was more than any other back in this class. So the only running backs at the FBS level that had more breakaway runs are not coming out this year. Sorry, you can't draft them in your leagues. But Isaiah Davis is going to be available for your rookie drafts, and he had the most breakaway runs of the class. Now, what do I see when I watch his film? Good footwork. He's got pretty good footwork for a big guy. He's shiftier. I think when you see a guy that's 6'6", 220 pounds, and runs, you know, run high 4.5, you don't expect him to be as shifty as he looks on tape. He's able to kind of zip around in a way that you would assume he was either faster in the 40 or lighter, but that's okay because clearly the game shiftiness is better than what just the workout metrics suggest. He's talented enough to break tackles at the NFL level. I feel really strongly about that. I think his ability to get through arm tackles, like I said, he is shifty enough to keep defenders enough, you know, off balance enough so that he can use his size to break those arm tackles. So I do think that'll be a skill of his if he gets the chance in the NFL. You got to get past the lack of athleticism and upgrade in competition, because those are two things that can sink a prospect before their career even gets a chance, is the fact that he's not super athletic. He's not going to typically wow the coaching staff with his workout abilities. And of course, this is a major upgrade in talent. Going from the FCS to the NFL is a jump in talent and it's speed and everything. It's really, really tough for some of these guys, but Davis is somebody who at least can break enough tackles that, given the chance, could perform at the NFL. He did run through a lot of big holes at South Dakota State. Pretty good offensive line. It did look like he could get a nice head of steam. And that was one thing that I did notice at the Senior Bowl, was it felt like during team drills, he was met at the line of scrimmage a lot. So that's kind of my red flags. I don't know if he's going to be able to burst through the hole and then get that big body going to break tackles a lot at the NFL level. But there are teams in the NFL with great offensive lines, and his projected round to be selected is the sixth. So we're talking about pretty much every team in the league getting a shot at him. So if he were to go to a team with a good offensive line and be a backup running back, and if he makes the roster, you know, makes that 53-man, what's the saying? What's the one of the best sayings that Scott Connor coined, or at least that's who I heard it say first, was if he's on a 53, he's for me. And Isaiah Davis is definitely someone who, if he's on a 53, he will be, for me, will be someone that I will be trying to pick up late in my rookie drafts, especially if I have an early first, then I'm probably going wide receiver quarterback, depending on the format. Second round, even if I have an early second, so you're second throughout. I mean, early throughout, probably want to double dip on another quarterback in the early second if I don't take one in the first in Superflex, or a receiver if I do, whatever. I don't see myself indulging in running backs in the first two rounds if I have an early selection throughout. Isaiah Davis is the perfect guy to pick up in the fourth, pick up in the third, you know, trade one of your bench guys to get back into the third, late third, in the fourth, take Davis. Because, again, I do think there's a path to playing time. My working play style comp for him is Jordan Howard. Projectability level, only a 2. So it's not someone that's going to wow. Jordan Howard did not have a long career in the NFL. He wasn't a fantasy asset for a long time, but he was good for a short period of time. And Isaiah Davis is that type of guy. In my opinion, that's who I see when I look at his tape, is a Jordan Howard type. My rank for him this year is running back 12, which isn't bad. That is higher than your Cody Schrader's, Monty Bailey's, who I've, you know, was a little bit higher on in the past. So, yeah, Isaiah Davis is a player that I think if he gets a little DC, gets on the right team, I think he's someone we'll love in the preseason. And then someone, if he sticks around, he's on the 53, could find his way into the lineup via injury, what have you, and produce in that role. So he's someone we got to put on our radars. Let's get back into the wide receiver position. We're going to go deep again. Hayden Hatton from Idaho. He's 6'2", 210, former three-star recruit coming out of high school. He's a redshirt junior, but due to COVID and all the stuff that happened in 2020, especially at the FCS level, he's been at Idaho since 2019. So, yes, he is only a redshirt junior, but he's been in college a while. FCS, they played in the spring after their season was shut down for COVID, and then they play. It's different because the FCS is not, of course, the FBS, which we're all used to. The way they responded to COVID and how to handle it wasn't the exact same. So his seasons kind of got split up. It was weird. It's kind of a weird thing. So he's been in college a while, but he is a redshirt junior. And I think he projects to run in the low to mid 4.5s. If he can get under 4.5, I think we're really on to something here. He is my favorite of the FCS quarterbacks. I like him better than Ryan Flournoy, who we've all gotten familiar with, a really steady player that I do like. So it's not a I don't like the others. I just like him more. I like him more than Jalen Coker that we saw at the Combine. I like him more than David White, who we saw at the Shrine Bowl. I think that his skills translate the best of these FCS wide receivers. It may take some time, but if we can see if his pro day is going to be this week, if we get news that he can get under the 4.5s, ooh, I'll be very excited to track his progress and hopefully eventual opportunity at the NFL level. Some of his stats throughout his career, you know, over his last 2 years, he was really good. He had 1,200 or more receiving yards in each of his last two collegiate seasons. Over those two seasons, he had 25 total touchdowns, so he was able to find Pater a lot, which is good. And last year, he was second in 3 surface stats. He was third in targets. I mean, second in the FCS in targets, second in receptions, and second in the FCS in receiving yards. So he was a reliable weapon, one of the most effective weapons at the FCS level. Watching his tape, it's apparent that he has great hands. Strong hands, great hands, not Ty James. He doesn't have a problem with Ty James. He is sure-handed, really, really good hands. He can make some really tough catches, man. I mean, he's a tough receiver. He is willing to go over the middle. He is willing to go up the seam. He is willing to get hit on the back end of a reception, but he will make the catch. He's got, like I said, really, really good hands. Tough kid, tough receiver. I don't know if he's a great route runner. I'm not going to say he's a great runner, but I think he's a decent route runner. He was able to win everywhere on the field, whether it be deep outs, you know, like I said, over the middle, the seam, comeback routes. He was good at finding the little cracks in zone coverage, which is a great sign. But again, it is the FCS competition, so you have to kind of take that with a little bit more of a grain of salt. You can't get as excited as you would for a kid doing it at Florida. You know, things like that. You have to take that in consideration. But we can only study what's in front of us. And the games that I watched, like I said, pretty decent route runner, but he was proving that at least at that level, he can win all over. So if he can develop, maybe he can win in multiple ways at the NFL level. My working play style comp for Hayden Hatton, and I'm sorry for this. This is going to cause a lot of people to get nuts, but you have to remember how my process works. My working play style comp is what I see of this player. Now, will he become this player? He can. There's a lot of projectability that goes into certain things, or maybe not so many projectability. So basically, the working play style comp for Hayden Hatton at Idaho, Puka Nacua. Sorry, it is. What did we love about Puka coming out last year? You know, the people that were on Puka Nacua coming out of BYU, right? He's good hands, pretty good route runner, made tough catches, wasn't super athletic, but he was able to make up for on the field. That's kind of what I see ahead. Now, the projectability level is as high as you can get it. It's a 5+. But I would just, we would have been saying the same thing about Puka last year, that he would have had to have gone to the right team, had to have found the right scheme, linked up with the right coach, right quarterback, and then he succeeds. Boom, bam, boom. It happened. So that has to happen even more so for Hayden Hatton, for him to become a player. Now, I don't expect him to be Puka Nacua if all those things happen. Again, we're talking about a guy at BYU in Idaho. Cougars, Vandals. It's different. Different things have to happen. His projected round in the NFL draft is the 7th. So, again, that's even later than Nacua. But their play styles are very similar. So that's why we're putting Hatton on our radar. That's why when the NFL draft comes in, when you're sitting there, right, you're day 3. Most people have checked out. Most people are watching whatever. They don't care. But you want to be better than your league mates. You're tuning in to day 3 of the NFL draft. You see Hayden Hatton's name called. You go, ooh, I heard about that kid on Blue Chips with Matty Hume. So I'm going to put that in my back pocket and kind of monitor his situation now that he's on play on Team X, now that he was drafted in round Y. This is why we dive into it. This is why we talk about it. In my rank this year, my rookie ranks, I am at wide receiver 29. So again, he's my favorite of the FCS receivers. But again, you got to temper expectations, especially in this class. It's such a loaded wide receiver class. And that goes, that hurts him. It does hurt these FCF guys because our team's as willing to take a chance on this guy, or if they can get a guy who they think is a similar type player, but played got lesser stats, did not produce as much, but played in FBS. Sure. But you got to get Hayden Hatton on your radar. You got to keep him in the back of your head when you're making your decisions, when you're, you know, doing your rookie drafts and getting your prep for your rookie drafts. We want to make sure that this guy is at least on your radar. If you don't draft him, you at least know that he's someone that could be on my team, or I could put on my taxi squad if my league allows it. Now, the last guy I'm talking about is my favorite of this entire group. He is my favorite of the 5. That's why, in my opinion, I saved the best for last. Now, if you've been listening to any of my stuff, you know about this player. This is a sleeper that I will if you're rocking with me, you've been woke. You know of it. You know who this is. But again, if you're new to the show, first of all, welcome. Thank you for tuning in to Blue Chips. But we got to know about this guy, because I think that this kid is, I think he's going to be undervalued throughout, and I think he is going to be a producer in the NFL in this year or next. And that's Dylan Laub, running back from New Hampshire. 5'10", 206, so that's 42nd percentile BMI. Good enough, got enough size. Workout metrics throughout are all good enough for a kid with this skill set to be successful in the NFL. 4.5, 4.4. 67th percentile, 97 speed score, over 50th percentile, 121.9 burst score, 69th percentile, nice. A 10.86 agility score, 96th percentile. So he's an agile kid. 23 bench reps, so he's a strong guy. Again, he's checking the boxes for us to get excited. A 99.6 athleticism score that you can find at playerprofiler.com. That's 11th in the class. But that's okay for a guy that's probably ranked right around there for most people, top 12 running backs of the class. But what makes him special is his on-field speed, we know, is good. At the Senior Bowl, multiple practices where he was top 5 on the day for his team, over 20 miles per hour clocked. So we know he has that game speed. And then you look into his games, his stats at New Hampshire. 117 receptions over the last 2 years. Let me say that again. Over the last 2 seasons in which Dylan Laub was at the University of New Hampshire, he had 117 receptions. That's a lot. In those 2 seasons, 1,163 receiving yards. 33 total touchdowns over the last 2 years. And had 1,043 rushing yards per season. So he can run the ball. He can run. But his true weapon is how he can be used in the passing game. 75 evaded tackles last year. 75. He can miss tackles. He can evade tackles. But when you see him on film, you got to watch some of his film. He's capable and productive from the backfield as a running back. I believe that. Because he's a strong runner. But his skill is that he is a passing game weapon. Now, what I mean, I strategically use the word weapon because Brad Holmes, GM of the Lions, when he talked to, I believe it was Mel Kiper, they were talking about the Jahmyr Gibbs pick. And of course, we all saw the video of them celebrating the selection of Jahmyr Gibbs, running back from Alabama at 12, where most of us in the draft world did not see that coming, did not see them taking him that early. We're all of the same mindset that we'd see Bijan early in round one and maybe Gibbs at some point, but to go 12, we weren't expecting. And then when you saw the excitement from the Lions War Room, you're like, oh, wow, they did get their guy. And the reason what he said to Mel Kiper, Brad Holmes did, was this kid's a weapon. And in the NFL, you need weapons. And he used that term because it's not just the running back. It's just not catching the ball in the backfield. It's being a weapon. It's being a cog in the machine of getting yards and eventual touchdowns. And in my opinion, Dylan Lobb's pass catching ability is the single best trait in the running back class. Is he the best running back in the class? No. But I think his ability to catch the ball is the single best quality amongst every running back in the class. Bucky Irvin, yes, he can catch the football well. Will Shipley, yes, he can catch the football well. They don't catch the ball like Dylan Lobb. They are not weapons in the way that Dylan Lobb is. Versus Central Michigan. Now, I know a lot of people are saying, who cares at Central Michigan? For New Hampshire, for an FCS team, that's a step up. That's probably the best team that they played on paper all year. You know what Dylan did? You know what he did? He had 12 receptions for 295 yards. Let that sink in. 12 receptions for 295 yards. Not total yards. Receiving yards. His ability to make plays out of the backfield as a receiver are unparalleled in this class. Like I said, the single greatest trait amongst all running backs in this class is his ability to be weaponized as a pass-catching player. Coming in at the combine, teams asked him if he'd be willing to do drills at receiver. And of course he did. One of the only players amongst all the skill positions that was asked to do something else. Malachi Corley was asked to do running back drills. That was kind of exciting. His pro days this week, we're excited to see what his time and his 40 is. We didn't see at the combine. But Dylan Lobb's pass catching ability is unbelievable. And I think that that's going to get him on an NFL roster, keep him on an NFL roster, and eventually he will carve out a role being a satellite back. But then an injury can happen, and all of a sudden he's getting a little bit more of that one first and second down work. And now we're looking at a Rex Burkhead type. But I think he's a better runner than Rex Burkhead. He's a hell of a lot more athletic than a Rex Burkhead. He's a lot more dynamic in the passing game than a Rex Burkhead, even more than a Danny Woodhead. This is the type of guy who could be a satellite back for a good offense for years. James White comes to mind, someone like that, that just kind of gets his opportunity and becomes a satellite back plus. Maybe limited bell cow weeks with injuries. I just think that the sky is the limit for Dylan Lobb. And yes, I know that's we're speaking relatively here. Opportunities are going to be tough for a guy coming from New Hampshire. But he's projected to be drafted in the sixth round, which is good DC for an FCS player. Potentially could be the highest FCS player taken amongst the skill guys. And my working play style comp for him is Duke Johnson. My projectability on that is a 3. There are a slight differences in how they play, but in the ability to catch the ball and the ability to make plays with the ball, you see a lot of Duke Johnson when you watch Dylan play at New Hampshire. Of course, Duke Johnson didn't necessarily ever get the workload that us fantasy gamers really, really were thirsty for. We were really, really excited for what that could look like, and he never really got it. So could that be what happens to Lobb? Yeah. I mean, it could be, but we got to put him on our radar. He's got to be somebody that we are trying to take in the third rounds of our rookie drafts. I got him at running back 8 in my rookie class this year. So I like Dylan Lobb a whole lot. So whether it be Lobb, whether it be Hayden Hatton, whether it be Isaiah Davis, whether it be Ty James or whether it be Jaden Sheridan. You got to put these guys on your radar so that if the opportunity begins to align and you start following the breadcrumbs, you can be not just a little bit ahead of your league mates, you can be light years ahead of your league mates. That is it. That is the episode. This is the latest episode of Blue Chips, where Dynasty meets Devi, where we talk the NFL, where we talk college football, where team building and player evaluations meet for an awesome, awesome discussion. You can find me on X at Matty Key. We'll make sure you are subscribed to the Player Profiler YouTube channel and the Player Profiler News YouTube channel. The draft is just a few weeks away, and we are gathering in Detroit. The Player Profiler Draft House is coming together for year number two, and it's going to be crazy exciting. But you want to make sure you're subscribed to the Player Profiler YouTube channel. Put that notification on. Let us make sure that YouTube lets you know when one of our shows is going live. Make sure you like this video. Leave a comment. If you have a question, go ahead and drop it in the comments. I'll get to it. And if you just can't get enough of me here at Blue Chips, the game plan is back and running. Trade Gods with Jason Allwine's getting it's going. Every single week we are putting out trade content. The Future Cast with Theo Greminger, we are going through rookie mocks like crazy, so make sure you're on the lookout for that. And then The Hurdle with my man Cody Carpentier every Tuesday night here at the Player Profiler YouTube channel. If you just can't get enough, head over to thedraftrankings.com and get everything that me and Cody have been putting out there. I'm Matty Kewum. Thank you for tuning into Blue Chips. I will see you next time. Peace.
From the Podfather to you, I deeply appreciate you tuning in. And many ask, what can I do? What can I do to help support the hosts, the research they do, the production costs? Go to playerprofiler.com, Dynasty Deluxe, World Famous Draft Kit, Rankings, DFS Dominator, and of course, Data Analysis. Subscribe to any one of those, and you support all of us and take Player Profiler to the moon.